It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say Worldwide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready for a rocky start to the May McDaniels marriage, Keith?
I'm not sure I have a choice, Jones. One game in the books. That's what it is. Questions about being given too much to the quarterback of the team? I don't love that.
What do you blame there? Do you blame him not being able to consume enough on the plate, or do you blame the server there, Keith?
You might have to go to the server a little bit. Now, I'm not one to do that.
Oh, boy.
Famously, I've never blamed a server or a chef in my life. I just, whatever's on the plate, I'm like, yep, that's what I ordered.
I'm a clean.
I ordered the string bean casserole.
I am a clean plate club guy, too. You throw it in front of me. I mean, it's gone. It's gone.
My wife will be like, is that cold? I'm like, no, it's fine. It's fine. Don't yell at anybody. Don't get it. You don't need to return my food. I can eat this. So, yeah, I think I would blame the server, right? Like, you want your quarterback to be able to, you know, take over the team and lead the way and everything else. But with somebody like Josh McDaniels, there has been questions in the past about, you know, is the offense too difficult? Players, and we usually kind of point to wide receivers because for so many years it was Tom Brady here. You don't have to worry about it.
Yep.
Tom Brady could figure it out. You know, Julian Edelman could figure it out. Other guys couldn't. And they would kind of come and go, and they wouldn't have a lot of success. So now when you're talking about, like, the main guy, if he's able to pick it up or not, it's a huge question. And I would look towards the coordinator for sure.
Right. So I don't want to just scapegoat McDaniels, but you and I never liked the hire in the first place.
Right.
So I'd like to place the proper amount of blame with Drake May, who, I still believe in. We're going to get into the 2024 quarterback class later on in the show. We did it briefly yesterday. It's a good day to do it because Williams and McCarthy both played last night. Mm-hmm. Like, McCarthy's already done something May couldn't do, which is lead a come-from-behind victory. But I'd still take Drake May over McCarthy. I still believe in Drake May, big picture. But I can also operate in reality and say he was bad on Sunday. And he hasn't won enough, and he's turned it over too much at this point in his career. So I want to place the blame properly with Drake May, but this, I think, was both of our fears with Josh McDaniels. And at right. least with Brady, to your point, Keith, I got it.
Yeah.
It's a decade plus with McDaniels. I mean, longer than that with Brady, but a decade plus of him and Brady speaking the same language, seeing the same things, understanding what works for each other, for the offense in the league. And so I at least got it when it became super complex and convoluted and, you know, just so overly reliant on Brady and McDaniels seeing the same thing, and you had trouble bringing in new receivers and rookie receivers. I at least got it. It's Brady.
Yeah.
Won a bunch. I get it. I don't get it anymore. Like, McDaniels' offense isn't that good. It hasn't been good ever without Tom Brady.
Yeah, and why would you run the same stuff that you ran with Tom Brady?
I thought the whole idea was you spent a year out of the league to go learn new things and put in new wrinkles and streamline the whole process, dumb it down, for lack of a better term. What were you doing when you were out of football? It sounds like the same convoluted, overly complex offense that, by the way, I don't really think works in today's NFL anymore. They didn't do a lot of pre-snap motion. They line up a ton under center, which is what McDaniels' offense is, and I don't think that's the NFL anymore. I don't.
Especially when you have these quarterbacks there, that more and more quarterbacks that get drafted are of the super athletic type quarterbacks, and you can do a lot of different stuff. And we haven't really seen enough of it, at least, you know, in week one. But it is amazing when you think back to just the hot potato of offensive coordinators for the Patriots over the last several years. And one of the reasons why they got rid of McDaniels, I shouldn't say got rid of, one of the reasons why they changed the offense after McDaniels left to take the Raiders job was, hey, let's make it easier for everybody coming in here. The problem was Belichick put the wrong guys in place to teach that offense, right? Like, I think it was the right idea. It was just the wrong way to get it done. And that's what led to some issues with, you know, Kendrick Bourne and Matt Patricia, because he's like, this isn't how you teach this offense. Like, this is screwball. Then they bring in Alex Van Pelt, and you're like, all right, that guy is a career quarterback coach. And, like, that's a useful job, but you're not a play caller. So he wasn't ready for that either. But those couple of years, the thought process was, let's kind of make it a little bit more accessible for everybody on the offense. So if we have a young quarterback, which we do, or if we're going to be hopefully relying on some young receivers, backs, offensive line, I mean, look how young they can be out there on the field. Well, maybe we don't need to have, as I think Edelman referred to it years ago, we don't need to have like a calculus test for these guys to figure out the offense. But they went back to that, and by they, I would say more Robert Kraft was like, hey, let's go Josh McDaniels, because he's probably thinking we had a lot of success with McDaniels. McDaniels actually got a semi-decent season out of Mac Jones, so he's probably putting a lot of emphasis on that. And then he's thinking, what could he do with Drake May? Well, it might not be as easy as that, though, right? Like, it might not be quite as simple. And is he the right coordinator for this quarterback?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. And I wonder if the coach is already a little annoyed. Like, I mentioned this yesterday with Greg. He had some interesting comments about McDaniels where, you know, he was talking about the running game and, well, maybe we got to reevaluate. I'm paraphrasing here. But we got to reevaluate, like, when we see something in a pre-snap look, maybe we just go with our stuff instead of overreacting to what the defense is doing. And I sense some frustration, annoyance, criticism of McDaniels in the play calling. And the Twitch chat and the text line, oh, he wasn't critical of McDaniels. I think he was already criticizing McDaniels. I don't think he hired McDaniels, to your point.
No,
I think he got He got forced into a marriage with Josh McDaniels as his play caller because the owner wanted to influence it. I don't think Vrabel, and you've said this before, Keith, I don't think he kicked and screamed. I think he went along with what his new boss wanted to do because he didn't have strong feelings on it. But I don't think McDaniels was his first pick. I think he's already frustrated. And now you have Drake May overanalyzing things and thinking too much and bogging down his play instead of just letting it rip. I don't just want to blame McDaniels for it. Like, text line says this. It's a fair point. Guys, as a rookie, Mac Jones figured it out. So if Mac Jones...
No, that's... And McDaniels has that.
If Mac Jones can process then this guy should be able to process it. So I don't want to let Drake off the hook for it. But I think yesterday we did a lot of criticizing of Drake May, and I think today is more of a day to evaluate Josh McDaniels and the fit. So you can jump in, 617-779-7937. It's how you get in touch all day long here on Jones and Keith.
But even the answer that Mike Vrabel had that we played right off the top of the show, that's one where you do open the door to all kinds of further questions, right? Because if you just say, if the question is, hey, is there too much on Drake May's plate? No, we don't think so.
No, he said, I think we have to evaluate that.
Right. But if you just say, no, we don't think so,
even
if in the back of your mind, you're like, yeah, we do. But he's like, no, we don't think so. Boom, next question, something about somebody else, and you move on. But you like you pause and you kind of give this whole long answer, it does lead to a lot of speculation. And it could be both, yeah, we need more out of the quarterback, or, hey, maybe the offensive coordinator needs to chill out a little bit. Because also, not like a coincidence, Josh McDaniels, who didn't work with Mike Vrabel over all his time in Tennessee or even in Houston when he was a coordinator and assistant and everything else, look at the rest of the offensive coaching staff. Are those McDaniels guys or Vrabel guys? Like that, I mean, Thomas Brown, Doug Marrone, Todd Downing, Tony Dews, like up and down the list of guys that worked with Vrabel.
Vrabel.
And then the guy that's at the top pulling the strings. So, like, this is one you wonder how long, like, how long does the Vrabel McDaniels May triumvirate last? Because I still think Vrabel long term, yes. May long term, yes. I'm curious how the McDaniels part kind of fits in.
And it's another sign where, you know, ownership got in the way, I think.
Yeah.
Ownership spent more this offseason than they have in recent years. But since they took over, they're what, second to last in spending since they took over in 94? So I think ownership has been an issue when it comes to paying for talent and bringing in talent. And, you know, Brady was able to mask a lot of that for years. You can't blame Bill for that anymore. And this is another thing where ownership, to me, just got in the way. Never mind the Mayo fiasco from a year ago, which Kraft is clearly to blame for. But I speaking of Mayo, that Vrabel comment has a little Mayo ring to it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, we got to reevaluate if we're putting too much on his plate. It's like, what? It's week one.
Yeah.
And May, if you wanted to lean in on it, you could say, well, May threw for whatever it was, 280-something, and like, no, we liked a lot of what he did, and no, we're not putting too much on his plate. What are you talking about? Instead, he's like, yeah, we got to look at that.
Maybe.
You don't want to put too much on his plate. I mean, maybe it's truthful, but Mayo sometimes is a little too truthful. And I think on the field they looked a lot like Mayo's team last year. And Vrabel, you pointed this out after one of his first press conferences, Keith. You're like, he kind of sounds like Mayo from time to time or says similar things where when you take a step back and think about it, you're like, wait a minute, what's he talking about?
Oh, yeah. Like, I think a lot of the stuff this, like, sort of training camp preseason through week one, when you're talking about, like, Christian Gonzalez, for example, a lot of, like, the contract stuff was offered up by Vrabel. The back and forth with Steph Diggs and then what led to the awkward apology with Steph Diggs was kind of amplified because of Vrabel. Remember that back and forth, that weird back and forth they had with Phil and all that stuff? And then now this with Drake May, and if there's like too much on his plate, it was sort of because of the answer from Mike Vrabel. So it's pretty curious because it's early in the season. There's a lot more of these to go.
617-779-7937. That's your phone number. You can interact on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can watch along and chat. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat going on Twitch. And you can do the same on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. We have a lot to get to here on a Tuesday. We will get to our tiers at 11:30 on a Tier Tuesday. AFC wide receivers. Where do the Patriots receivers fit in there? I'd imagine not super high.
Perhaps not.
Where do the opponents on the other side?
Yes.
Tyreek Hill,
yes.
Jalen Waddle for the Dolphins this weekend. Where do they fit in? We'll tier those off at 11:30. We have a Tom E. Tuesday with Tommy Curran at High Noon. He wrote today about what mistakes in week one are correctable and what we should be fearful of. So we'll ask Curran about that at High Noon.
Fierce.
Plus a Kiefer Madness, Keefe.
Yes.
At 12:45.
Looking forward to it.
So a busy, busy Tuesday. I wonder where Phil's question even came from, Keefe. Like, oh, by the way, I just curious.
Yeah.
Are you guys putting too much on Drake May's plate?
Yeah.
So
I think it's another plant. Like when he was asking him, was he the one that asked about the tush push? I still think that was a plant question, just so they could run that one play.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
I'm convinced by that. They're like out of nowhere. They're like, hey, would you run the tush push? He's like, yeah, maybe we're thinking about it.
No, I mean,
then
I,
they line up and they scoot around the edge.
I don't know if it's a planted question. I think Phil's a good reporter, and so I'm guessing he's hearing from somewhere. Like, boy, they're really putting a lot on Drake's plate, and I wonder, is that from Drake and his camp? I wonder if that's from members of the offensive staff.
Thomas Brown.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder where that's coming from. But, like, that felt like kind of an out-of-left-field question from Phil yesterday, which means I bet he's hearing something.
Yeah, especially getting the answer that he got. And I'm not saying Mike Vrabel doesn't like Phil, but we've had a couple of pretty entertaining back and forths, right?
Come on, Phil.
Yeah, right.
Come on, Phil.
Do you believe that, Phil?
Oh, yeah, good question, like, Phil. Where'd you go to school, Phil?
So, right, exactly. So, like, that could have led to an easier, like, you look at him and, like, you kind of roll your eyes. Like, Belichick had a handful of those guys, and even Phil became one of those guys, I think, with Belichick, and then he would kind of look at him like, oh, here we go. And so Vrabel easily, even if he didn't believe it, could have shot that down. But he was actually a little bit more than willing to talk about it. So it just feels like there is something there.
Yeah, regardless, I think it's a bad sign for the start to the marriage of Drake May and Josh McDaniels. And these were some of our fears when McDaniels got brought in. And again, the later days with Brady and McDaniels, I got it. Because you were so successful and you were winning so much. I don't get why you had to bring back Josh McDaniels for a third time for a guy whose offense is out of date. For a guy who really hasn't been that successful, give him the Mac Jones year,
yeah,
but really hasn't been that successful away from, I don't know, the greatest quarterback of all time who had success with every offensive coordinator he ever had,
right?
Whether that was Charlie Weiss, whether it was Bill O'Brien, whether it was Byron Leftwich, didn't matter.
No.
Was successful with all of them. That's pretty much all he's done. And now in year two, you're maybe bogging down your quarterback or having him overthink, which shouldn't let Drake off the hook, but I would say I never really understood why you had to rush to bring this guy back and force Vrabel's hand, which is what I think Kraft did.
Yeah, I wonder if it did the franchise get embarrassed because the year before they're like, we're looking for an offensive coordinator, and it was like the Red Sox with the GM. And they went through like 15 guys, and then Van Pelt's like, I'll do it. They're like, thank God.
They knew it was a search.
Everybody said
no.
Like, they offered it to people, they said no. Now this is different. This is different. I think people might have been a little like, do I want to jump on to Belichick right now? And, you know, maybe they didn't want to do that for the last year, first year of Vrabel. And then, because even some of the names that were out there, wasn't it like, Todd Downing, who's actually their receivers coach, was like one of the names tossed out there. So there was like a few guys that worked with Vrabel in Tennessee.
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't know if I want that guy.
Who was the kid in Cleveland?
McCown, maybe?
No, Josh McCown. Tommy Reese?
Tommy Reese.
Yeah. Who Vrabel overlapped. Yeah, so honestly,
like, I was like, in that case, I'd rather have McDaniels.
That's a good theory. Vrabel was struggling to get the guys he actually wanted. Cleveland retained Reese.
Yeah, yeah.
And Kraft is like, well, we're not getting embarrassed again. Josh McDaniels.
All
and Vrabel's
like,
whatever, I guess, fine.
Because I don't think like those McVay guys were coming over here. I don't think, you know, Obviously, Ben Johnson's a head coach. Like, I don't think you were getting any of those guys that were moving around. So they were like, all right, we're going to do this. We're not going to get embarrassed. We're getting an established guy and not do what we did the last 2 years.
So you guys can climb aboard. 617-779-7937. We'll get into some excuses for Drake May. We're certainly making some when it comes to Josh McDaniels. Are we making too many, or are there legit excuses there? The O-line, the lack of receiving talent, et cetera, et cetera. We'll get to that. But a reminder, Football Talk on WEEI is presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone, Keith, is back in the original hit series Tulsa King.
All right.
Billy's watched. You watched the first season of Tulsa King,
right? Did watch
the
first season.
Thumbs
enjoyed
up?
It. Absolutely.
Okay, how about that?
I mean, it's sly.
He's back.
Yeah, exactly.
This season, Dwight, that's Stallone?
That's serious.
Okay. Faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built to protect his empire. Stream the new season of Tulsa King on Sunday, September 21st, exclusively on Paramount Plus. We'll get to all your feedback coming up. Is there too many excuses for Drake May? We'll get to that.
It's Boomer and Geo, mornings on The Fan, 101.9 FM.
My job is to try to get us to a championship. That's all I care about. Because remember, when they fired Tibbs, what they said in their PR statement that they put out, and that was, we're all about championships, and I'm paraphrasing. We want to win a championship, and the reason we essentially fired the coach is we don't think he can get us there.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The other thing that stood out to me, Andrew, is it felt like there's too much going on in Drake May's brain as he tries to process all the stuff that he's got put in his head since Josh McDaniels and Mike Vrabel took over. Protect yourself. Look at some of the quick slides, which are good. Protect yourself. But, like, looked a little less athletic than you would expect someone of with this athleticism to look. And then some of the decision-making, like, just let it go. Let it go. Take the profit. No, not sure. I think his instinct is to extend plays and to make something bigger happen. And I don't think that that's how they want him to play very often. And so to me, there's a little bit of a battle. It's the good devil, the angel and the devil, right? One on each shoulder. Who are you going to listen to?
Mike Giardi on the Pats Interference Podcast with Andrew Callahan. I know it's not a Would You Rather Wednesday, Keith.
It's close, though. It's the eve.
But who would you rather listen to, the devil on the shoulder or the angel?
The devil!
I think I'm listening to the devil on the shoulder.
666, Sign of the Beast.
I get one or the other.
Yeah.
I think that's the one I'm going to listen to there.
Definitely.
And so, look, Giardi is saying Drake May has too much on his plate. He's bogged down. Phil Perry clearly heard that from somewhere. And I don't mean to say that in a disparaging way.
No.
It's a credit to his reporting.
That's
he heard
question.
It from somewhere. He popped the question to Vrabel. Vrabel didn't deny it. Vrabel's like, no, actually, we got to evaluate that.
Yeah.
Which, again, underscores that to me is coming out of the building or from Drake May's camp or whatever. But a lot of people think we're making too many excuses for Drake May, which I do feel like we're dabbling in, Keith. I want to criticize McDaniels.
Oh, I...
Because I never liked the hire, but I don't want to let Drake May off the hook. So the text line, 617-779-7937. Guys, if you can't hit open guys or you throw high and low, that's on you. Jones and Keith with the excuses. The line was decent. The receivers were open. That tells me the players were fine. What wasn't fine was the quarterback. Okay. I mean, there's a bunch of those.
And the thing working against Drake May the most would be, as a rookie, Mac Jones, who we all at least now agree is terrible, a quarterback, had 3,800 yards passing, 22 touchdowns, 13 picks, and was on a 10-win team as a rookie. So even with a new offense, which you'll say, all right, so he's starting from scratch. Drake May was in the NFL. He's been on the team for a whole year, played in, 12-13 games last year. So he should have a significant leg up over Mac Jones, let alone being drafted higher and overall more talented. So, like, if you can't duplicate that, then I don't really know what to tell you.
Guys, my fear is Drake May sucks.
Well, that is a fear that is fair to have.
So what was the question Greg Show was asking today? Like, I want to get the wording right because I think the wording is important. Like, do I think Drake May sucks? My answer would be no.
No, I don't think he does either. But, like, right now it's at one game into year two. You don't know which way it's going to go.
Here you go. Their question was, are you worried about Drake May? So my answer to, does Drake May suck? My answer would be no.
Yeah, I'm worried.
Am I worried?
I'm worried all the time.
Hell yeah, I'm worried. It's one week.
I wake up worried.
It looked like trash. So yes, I'm worried. That doesn't mean he won't be good. If you're asking me to pick Do I think he'll be good or not? I would pick that, but I'm worried I'm wrong. I'm wrong often. I'm worried I'm wrong on this one. Yeah, I
would be worried. So, like, you know, because we do all these different comparisons all the time, and we talked a lot about Josh Allen yesterday, which is like the highest of the high-end comp. But one game into year two of Josh Allen, were Bills fans worried? I bet they were. And now since then,
yeah. Oh,
they're great, and he's the man, and he's the greatest thing ever. There are other examples, too, where, I don't know, like Daniel Jones or Sam Darnold, or, you know, pick a few of these guys. I know some of them have had, you know, other stops along the way, but high draft picks, like Marcus Mariota, whatever, year two after a game, were they worried? Yeah, they were. Were they right to be? Yeah, they were. Like, those guys weren't even on the team very long. So, like, there's still such a wide range of outcome with Drake May. So, people that are worried that he's going to stink, it's fine. Like, you can be worried that he's going to stink because you can only be, like, what side would be winning that debate right now? We don't know yet. We have to see, right? So there's somebody's adamant, like, no, he's going to be a top 10 quarterback. Somebody else is like, no, he's going to be gone in 2 years. Right now, we're still trying to figure all that out. And this past Sunday was not a good example for those that think he's going
to
be great.
Good text. On a scale of 1 to 85, how worried are you?
Not to steal Hunter Henry's answer, but closer to 40, 39.
Okay, I was going to go higher than that, but not
no,
high.
No, like middle.
50.
Middle. Oh, so 56. 56?
Yep.
Oh, so more than half the scale.
Yeah, I'm worried.
You are worried.
Yeah. If you're 40, you're not that worried.
I had two theories about the Hunter Henry 40. So if you missed it yesterday, our surprise question of the week with Hunter Henry was, how surprised was he that Bruce Willis was dead the whole time in The Sixth Sense? Scale 185, he said 40.
Right, smack dab in the middle.
This is an interesting theory from my hashtag dork podcast co-host Ryan Davey, who said he's like 10 years younger than us. I think Hunter Henry's like 30. So he's like, there's no way he saw it in the theater.
He's that much younger than us?
Yeah, I think he's 30.
He seems so much more mature.
And
he's 30 years old. You're right. Yeah. Holy crap.
And charismatic. Yeah. But so he's like, he probably had the movie spoiled for him. He's like, he didn't see it in the theater. He was too young, and he probably already knew. And I'm like, yeah, that would have been a great anecdote had he shared that, but he didn't.
Nope. He said, what are we doing here, guys?
And then I was trying to explain the question and answer to my wife, and she was like, he probably hasn't seen it. And I was like, he didn't mention it.
Well, it was the first time we broke out the scale, Keith. Maybe he'll get more comfortable next week.
But anyway, on the worried scale, which apparently we're also going to 85, I would be like 39, 40 for Drake May. I think it's worth discussing, but okay. I'm also very much understanding of he has not even played a full season in the NFL.
Put me down for 56.
Okay. I'll mark you down.
These scales are fluid.
No doubt.
By the way, I don't think this is breaking newsworthy, but remember yesterday we had an interesting tweet about Jabril Peppers?
Yeah, we did.
Prayer hands and life is crazy or whatever he said. You had what I thought was a good theory on
it.
And I think you nailed it, Keith.
Mm-hmm.
Former Patriot safety Jabril Peppers, a surprise release after cutdown day, expected to sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers, according to Ian Rappaport and Mike Garofolo. They've agreed to terms. He was a starter for the Patriots the last 6 years, Rap Sheet writes. There's no way that's right.
But 6 years for Peppers?
That's incorrect. The 29-year-old brings toughness and leadership to a 1-0 Steelers team.
He was on the Patriots for 3 seasons.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Look, I know. Trust me. I was going over the Football Reference page. The guy's never had a winning season.
Cleveland,
he's never made the playoffs.
Cleveland, Giants. Pass.
He had a winless season. I think it's hilarious. He's going to go to the Steelers and they're going to have their first losing season ever.
Something's going to give. Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season. No. Jabril Peppers never had a winning season.
I thought the Steelers looked like trash week one.
Yeah.
I think he's been a loser his whole career. So go to Pittsburgh, and now they're going to have the first losing. Perfect fit. Honestly,
how about this?
Perfect fit. Jabril Peppers, and you get to face him week three.
This is what's going to happen. They're going to finish 8-8-1. But he missed the win on week one, so he is going to finish 7-8-1.
He'll
both streaks remain intact.
Beautiful.
That's what's going to happen.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
No, that's perfect.
Yep.
Pittsburgh, so the guy's never had a winning season.
No.
Pittsburgh never has losing seasons.
Correct.
Something's got
to
give.
Something does have to give.
And I think it's going to. But okay, he plays against the Pats in week three, if you want to discuss. And I do genuinely.
That's exciting.
I think the Patriots missed him in week one. I mean, I do genuinely think
but that's
that.
Good juice. That's good bad blood. We talked about how Aaron Rodgers and Justin Fields did a little switcheroo in the Steelers-Jets game, and Aaron Rodgers was peacocking around after the game, and he had a good game, so he should. But that adds a little juice to that one. I mean, every game's going to be a big game for the Patriots this year. They don't have a big room for error. The Raiders and the Steelers and the Patriots are teams that are kind of all jumbled together, so you got to win those head-to-head games. Aaron Rodgers coming to town is going to be fun anyway, and now you sprinkle in a little Jabril Peppers, and I'm sure he'll have a few things to say that week.
I would imagine he will.
I love it.
617-779-7937. 793.7. Okay. We've made some excuses with the play calling for Drake May, although I do think it's fair to say if Mac picked it up right away, this guy should be able to. Also, it's fair to say, are we blaming Josh McDaniels for him firing high every throw? Like, are we doing that?
No, that's not Josh's fault. Josh isn't telling him to overthrow everybody.
So I think the O-line was fine in week one. Now, our buddy Ray in Cumberland makes a good point. He's like, Jones, you thought the O-line was fine. How come they abandoned the run? Well, that's worth blaming McDaniels for,
but it's a fair
point by Ray. All right, maybe the O-line wasn't moving people in the run game, fair. But when I was saying that yesterday, that I thought they were fine, that was specific to the pass game. I thought they were giving May time on a lot of the throws. I thought, now maybe we're just conditioned to seeing how bad it was the last couple of years, and I don't even realize what a good O-line looks like. But I thought the offensive line was better, and I think they feel like they have more weapons than they had last year, so it's hard to give Drake May too many excuses when you had more time to throw and better guys to throw to.
I probably would have played Henderson more than Stevenson already. I think Stevenson got too many snaps. I would have played Steph Diggs a little bit more. Drake May did target him a decent amount. Like, the percentages were pretty high, but he wasn't on the field enough. So those are two things that I don't know if that's just a McDaniels decision or if Vrabel's in charge of that or whatever else.
It's a good question. The receiver packages, is that McDaniels or is that Vrabel or some
McDaniels.
Combination?
I would think McDaniels, but honestly, if there's a big change in week two, maybe that's one of those things where, like, Vrabel lets him decide, sees what it looks like, and is like, all right, here's what we're going to do. Maybe it's, you know, we saw a little bit of Kyle Williams. Maybe they mix in a little bit more of him. Maybe certainly more Steph Diggs. They can't, like, run away from Pop Douglas, but he was really bad. He was kind of useless in the game. But they got to figure that stuff out. I wonder if the running back dynamic does change. And also, second half, they ran the ball like three or four times total in the second half. And you started the second half with the lead and with the ball. So it's not like you were chasing points. I could see if all of a sudden you're down 20 and it's like, all right, guys,
you got to hug it.
We're going shotgun and we're gonna chuck this thing around. You weren't. Even when you were down, I mean, it was a one-possession game for a long time. And then, yeah, there was a couple of drives you had where it was two-possession. But at that point, to be so tilted, pass-heavy is a mistake.
Real quick, Kayshon Booty, we both thought looked pretty good week one.
Yes.
He had a big final week last year. He's shown good chemistry with Drake May when he's been out there, although I guess the final week last year wasn't with May. Six catches, 103 to start the year. Do you like or not like this comment from Kayshon Booty? And the receiver room had a lot of head scratchers last year, Keith.
They did. They might have led the league in that.
So Booty was asked about his game, and he said, quote, "I think people failed to realize that at one point in time, I was a first-round pick."
I think he was a sixth-round pick.
So what does he mean? Like, at one point in time before he was draft eligible early on in his career at LSU, he was high in a mock draft one time? Is that what he means?
Yeah, Walter Football had him in the first round one year.
So one mock draft early on in LSU when he wasn't eligible for the draft had him in the first round, so he's a first round pick.
I believe
you were a sixth round pick.
He was drafted in the sixth round. Yeah, he was pick number 187.
Okay.
But I get what he means. Like, he was projected at one point to be a first round pick.
I'm more talented than a traditional sixth
round
pick.
Yeah, I think injuries knocked him down. I don't mind it. No. Oh, my God. On the scale of I have the best hands in the league, or I make people in wheelchairs stand up, or all this other nonsense, the Bugatti in a carport, like the Tyquan Thornton tweeting out like a Michael Jordan meme with like a quote from Michael Jordan. No, this one's nothing.
It's not as bad as any of those, fair. But, you know, it's one game. Like, just for the record, it's one game. Like, maybe wait a little longer before you start going, you know, I was the first round pick.
But what was the question, though? Because it might have been about, like, his confidence level. And I think it's just he's just proving, like, why he's confident. Like, he believes, like, you know, or maybe the question was something about, like, surprising people. And he's, you know, not surprising himself. I think it probably was a surprise question. Those are really the only questions
you can't
ask.
1-9, Kayshon. How surprised are you at the season?
No, he'd be zero for him.
Yeah, no, it's
he'd
true.
Be on the other end of the scale.
He's first round pick.
Well, sixth. I'm looking here, sixth.
You read Todd McShay's mock draft from 4 years ago? He's first round pick.
Like, yeah, well, sixth. But that's all right. Still in the league, and he is probably their best receiver.
I mean, Shadur fell. He was a first round pick, too.
Good point.
He's a fifth round pick.
People forget Shadur was a first round pick. People forget.
Fifth round. Second overall for like six
months. That's a great point.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. I know Tom E. Curran, very high, on Kayshon Booty. We'll get his thoughts on a Tommy Tuesday, every Tuesday on Jones and Keefe at high noon. We got a Keefe for Madness for you at 12:45. And less than an hour from now, we'll tear off AFC receivers, including Kayshon Booty, Steph Diggs, and the guys on the other side for the Dolphins this weekend on a Tier Tuesday every Tuesday at 11:30. However, we've mentioned Mac Jones's name a couple of different times here today.
Yeah, too much.
Oddly enough, Keith.
Too much.
He may be starting again in the NFL as soon as this weekend. Let's get to Mac Jones and what sort of level of success we think he can have with Kyle Shanahan next.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, you know, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say World Wide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Drake, this is going to sound like a weird question, but it's a topic that has come up. How much do you want to win? There are people out there that are wondering, are you like, do you have the killer instinct to win? How much do you want to win in the NFL?
Shoot, I mean, that's why I play the game. You play the game to win, and that's what we're all, you know, spending so much time doing, you know, winning. I think, you know, losing is the opportunity to learn from it and build it, but shoot, winning is the ultimate goal of playing this game, and I mean, that's what you play for, to win Super Bowls, and you know, starts with us with winning each week, and I wouldn't be doing anything for anything else besides winning.
Such a good song for such a cornball in Mac Jones.
Yeah,
we'll get to him coming up in a moment. I was a direct question from Hart yesterday.
Didn't give him a scale though. I was curious, like on a scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah,
right.
5 or 6.
7 or 8.
How bad do you want to win?
Do you want to? Do you like winning?
He did say shoot.
Yeah. And
he know he means business.
Shoot.
Yeah, he didn't start with yeah. He started with shoot.
Good point.
He went shoot.
Shoot.
Which I respect, not just like swear. Like, he understands the rules of radio. You can't just cuss.
Well.
So he said shoot.
We got to get Ty Law on that train.
Shoot. That's why I play the game.
Yeah.
That's why he plays the game.
Yeah.
Plays the game to win. Well, all he wants to do is win.
He has not come through very much in that category.
No. He hasn't had that really happen for him yet.
No.
What better time to start than this Sunday?
This Sunday against
the Miami Dolphins.
What looks like
reeling the Dolphins worst team in the league.
Yeah. So they play the Bills week 3. I didn't realize this about Miami.
Oh, they're done.
It's
a must win for the Dolphins.
My buddy texted me this last night. If the Patriots beat the Dolphins and then McDaniel gets just pantsed by the Bills in week 3, he could be out before the end of the month.
Well, would you consider Mike McDaniel as offensive coordinator here? Would you take him?
No.
If things go sideways? Hold on. Let me finish.
No, I'm out.
Not for week 3. I'm saying if things don't go the way you want them to go this year here.
I'm out.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. No. We're out.
I think he could still coach an offense.
McDaniel or McDaniels. It's another would you rather. Basically, all our would you rather are tomorrow are done.
I think Wiggy calls Mike McDaniel McDaniels and Josh McDaniels McDaniel. So that'd be very confusing if they did trade.
Well, yeah. That sounds right. If you missed any of Drake May yesterday on WEEI Afternoons, he joins them every Patriots Monday. Check it out. Odyssey app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone. Free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. You can use the rewind feature to listen to their interview with Drake May, our interviews with Hunter Henry, Christian Ellis, Greg's interview with Mike Vrabel. Again, every Patriots Monday. You can also listen live on the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps. Mac Jones could play this weekend, Keith.
Great. So he's one of those guys that it's great to be a first-round pick. I'm sure it's very thrilling to be a first-round pick. I don't know how many honors in football are better than that at that time in your life. But then that's always the thing that follows you around the league. And so if he was just like a third-round pick and was on his third team right now, and you're like, hey, you could do a lot worse, right? Your starter's down. You have to put in your backup. You could do a lot worse. But there still is a little bit of the, oh, well, you know, he was the starting quarterback as a rookie, made the playoffs as a rookie. There was all those rumors before the draft that Kyle Shanahan wanted him at 3 overall. Like, so there's way more put on him expectations-wise than there are most backup quarterbacks in the league. But if you're San Francisco, let's get it out of here for a second. If you're San Francisco, Brock Purdy goes down, would you rather start Mac Jones or Josh Dobbs?
I don't know.
I mean, you have to start one of them.
I would say Dobbs, I think, but I don't like either one.
Wow, we saw Dobbs the preseason, like kind of stink. A lot of backup quarterbacks stink.
Every part of me just doesn't want to say Mac because I just hate the whole Mac experience.
So do I. But that was when they were like trying to tell you he's the starter and he's the guy. Like, he's not the guy. He wasn't the guy. But even in San Francisco, he's not the guy. He's just the replacement.
And if we're being fair, he he did make a Pro Bowl. He didn't deservingly make a Pro Bowl.
Well,
but,
but so did Mitch Trubisky and Drake May.
But
and
Josh Dobbs hasn't, is my point. So out of those
he
two.
He might have.
Did he? No.
I mean, if Tyler Huntley made one.
I leave the Pro Bowl out of it.
Okay, but I'm just saying, like, I mean, if we're really being fair, I don't want to give Mac any credit. Out of those two, it probably actually is Mac, now that I think about it. I just hate the whole Mac Jones experience. But
there's not 32 good quarterbacks in the league, so there certainly aren't 64 of them.
No.
And so somebody has to be a backup. That is his lot in life. That is what he is going to be. And he might be good enough to stay in the league as that. Like the Flying McCown brothers were starting all the time.
Yeah, it's true.
And so, like, if one of them has to go in, now you don't want him for more than a couple of games.
No.
You hope it's a short injury, but he goes in there, and with Kyle Shanahan in his ear, maybe they can steal a win here or there.
Look,
or something. They're playing the Saints this weekend, so he's
correct.
Probably going to be okay.
I don't know. And, like, Purdy might play. I think Purdy's pretty tough. I think it's his non-throwing shoulder. So maybe Purdy will play through it. I have no idea. Just the fact that was out there last night, that he might not play this weekend, and it could be Mac Jones, is interesting to me. Are there still Mac people?
No, they're all gone. Well, Greg was. Greg famously was on Mac Island.
Oh, yeah, Mac Island was a lonely, lonely place. I don't even think Greg's there anymore.
No.
I used to argue with a lot of people about Mac Jones. I do feel like I've been vindicated, but if there are Mac people out there, this is your weekend. If he plays, this is exactly what the Mac people used to say all the time. Well, if you gave him a good play caller, Shanahan's a good play caller, right?
Yeah, he's a good play caller.
If you gave him weapons, now... I don't really know what what the Niners' weapons are. Kittle's not going to play.
You just give it to McCaffrey.
Jennings not going to play.
Jennings is not going to play?
Well, he couldn't lift his arm last week.
Pearsall looked good. McCaffrey looked good. Like, I don't know. I mean, I feel like this is exactly what people were asking for years with Mac Jones. Get him in Shanahan's offense and see what he looks like. Shanahan supposedly liked him in that draft.
Yeah, but it's too late.
You think it's too late?
I think we've seen enough of it.
So you don't think there are any more Mac people?
I have
a feeling if he wins this weekend and looks okay and the Pats are 0-2, we're going to hear from some Mac people.
So what's going to happen is I don't think they're Mac people as much as I think Drake May is more polarizing than maybe he should be. And so the people that don't like Drake don't necessarily like Mac Jones, but they're going to give you the, hey, everybody craps on Mac Jones, but look at the results. Right? It's one of those things where it's like, yeah, you're not really talking up Mac Jones. It's more of a way to dig at Drake May.
Interesting.
That's what I think.
Well, let me do just that.
Okay. He won 2 games with the Jaguars last year.
Yeah.
Mac Jones did. Yeah, you know, 7 starts.
Let me give Mac Jones credit for one thing. He came in and just peppered the crap out of Brian Thomas when he got in there. It is smart.
Yep.
Like, crummy quarterbacks? Like, this is, I mean, forget not to call May a crummy quarterback, but, like, pepper the crap out of Diggs. This is what you should do. Go pepper
the alpha
receiver.
I think he tries to, but he's not on the field enough.
Yeah. So, you mean with Diggs? Yeah.
Yeah, Diggs needs to play more.
So, I like May. I never liked Mac, okay? But now I'm going to use Mac Jones's first career game with Josh McDaniels as an example for why we can't blame McDaniels for everything that went wrong with May last week.
Yeah, fair.
I never liked McDaniels as a hire. I believe in Drake May, and I think you still need to look at these two things. Mac Jones' first career start was a loss to the Miami Dolphins way back in September of 2021 at home. But he was 29 out of 39, 281, touchdown, no turnovers, quarterback rating of 103. Like, that's his first career game in the NFL with the same play caller.
Was there too much on his plate, though?
And I don't remember hearing about how there was too much on his plate. I don't recall that.
You need a second plate?
So you go back and look at his rookie year. Nick alerted us to this. Just go back and look at his game log. I'm like, I feel like I have a pretty good working knowledge of his game log that year.
Yeah. Well, they also had the 7th best offense in football, which is wild. They did have, I think, 100 points in a game against the Jets and Jaguars combined. But whatever, every team plays 17 games, so if you finish 7th, you finish 7th.
It inflated those couple of games the numbers, so they probably weren't actually the 7th best offense in football, but you're right, the numbers were the numbers.
Although the wind game may have affected him too. That was that year, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah, he was 2-for-3 in a win over Buffalo.
Showed you how much they liked him.
It's true. That was the end of his career right there. So when it comes to Josh McDaniels and too much on his plate, Mac Jones could handle it. So yep. Drake May should, if Drake May is what we think he is, he should be able to handle it. I only want to go so far.
But Mac's also the example of the quarterback that got worse each year in the NFL, where there are plenty of other examples, and you're hoping that Drake May is one where he gets better every year. And then sort of, you know, year 4, you kind of plateau or whatever, and you're the stack.
The whole idea with Mac is he came in as like a finished product.
Yeah.
And there wasn't much upside and much projectability.
Correct.
Drake May is the opposite. Drake May has upside and projectability. He might never get to it, but, you know, he should continue to go up where Mac plateaued and actually, you know, is now on his third team. 617-779-7937. You can jump in on this. Are there still Mac people out there? I'm curious to hear from you. If there are, you can discuss there. No. Meanwhile, Let's get to the 2024 quarterback class. Schefter last week was on with WEEI Afternoons. He's like, might be up there with 1983.
Woo!
One of the best quarterback classes ever.
Get a documentary about these guys.
I think we know who the best QB is in the class so far, but where does Drake May fit in with some of these other guys, two of which we saw Monday Night Football last night? We'll get to it next.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
They're looking for a point guard who's logged a lot of games in the NBA, who is going to run an offense that they trust when Jalen Brunson's on the bench and or if he gets hurt.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.